Good morning once again. Joining me now is Fareed Gio, and Fareed has been around this event for a number of years.
Yeah, like 94.
94? Yeah, yes. You started out in custom parking.
Yeah.
Parking airplanes.
I learned under the wing of the venerable Air Venture Cup race director, Eric White. And I remember in our residence hall room in St. Cloud, Minnesota, he is drawing out the Papa Taxiway in the ditch and explaining all the positions. And you're going to stand here, and you're going to do this. And I was helping out with the Air Venture Cup race on the weekend. They had an open house, and they needed somebody to kind of flap their gums for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And but then as the racers were recovering on Sunday, everybody was out at finish line everywhere else, and so I ended up like pushing airplanes around. It's like, wow, it's bringing up old memories.
it certainly is, and it just as we're on the topic of the Air Venture Cup race, this is an anniversary year.
Yeah, 25 years of the running of it. Started in 1998. The first couple of years, I wasn't involved, but it just kind of I was there during the Kitty Hawk to Oshkosh years with the stop in Dayton, and it's just interesting. There are some people I've seen from the very beginning.
Yes.
And then there's some people that are brand new, and I think the spirit is still there. It was just fun to meet everybody and see the new people are super excited about it.
Yeah, it was. So we just wanted to recognize that 25 years. It's been an amazing run. Eric White had the kind of idea to put it all together and jump through a lot of hoops to get that first one in the air, and been going strong ever since.
One thing he mentioned, because he invited all the racers to come to the unveiling of the statue for Tom Poperesny.
Yes.
And he said that Tom was one of the early backers and really got behind the race from the beginning, even when everybody was like, oh, what are we doing? Yeah.
And
Tom advocated really strongly for the race.
Yeah. And it's unlike like at the Reno races where you're pylon racing, this is cross country, so it's not really. You're not on top of anyone else. You're just trying to get the best time from point A to point B.
Yeah, and it's the most democratic because there's 29 classes. There was an amphibian class, and then we have production airplanes that are in it, and there's a no fault land. So as soon as you land, you tell them I'm landing. They stop your time. You have to refuel, fix something, whatever else. Wait for weather. As soon as you're back up in the air, your time starts. So you don't have to. There's no stress. Or where you have to make a decision between safety and trying to accomplish.
Excellent. Yeah. Do you know how many participants there were this year?
I believe 70 went into the air.
Wow.
And we got them all back.
Good.
But 70, which is really good because I think that's about they've been averaging. Sometimes it's been as high as I think about around 90 and as low as 55. But it's been pretty consistent in that number.
Excellent. Well, with the air race, your involvement with custom parking, so you've seen a lot of home builds through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some really interesting when I arrived here, the RVs were just kind of just. Not, I don't know the history of RVs, but I mean, there weren't a lot. But then suddenly that overwhelmed the Long Easies and some of the other, the Rutan designs and some of the other ones that were in the forefront.
Right. I think that when the 6 model, the RV6 and 6A came out, that really opened the door to a lot of home builders. And, you know, they're great airplanes to fly. It's some of the other home builds are as well, but it's really exploded. When you look at the camping area, the parking area, there's a lot of RVs out there. Yeah.
And when I first started parking, we were pushing airplanes around what's now Boeing Plaza, all that grass area that's now filled with exhibitors. We were parking airplanes back there back in my day.
From there, you kind of transitioned to EIA Radio.
Yeah.
And you've been with the radio station since its humble beginnings.
Yes. From the basement of or the first floor of this building that we're sitting at, the communications center. Then we were sent north to the operations building, the old operations air show center. And we existed there for quite a number of years. I think it was into the teens of this century, I believe.
I think so, yes.
Until they said, well, the building's going away.
Yeah.
But we've evolved from basically a two-room schoolhouse to two buildings and professional facilities and a radio intern program from St. Cloud State University where a lot of us attended and some of us learned radio. Some of us have aviation.
Right.
Some have both. But that's... It was just a nice melding of the two interests, and now mass communication students can come down and sample all the different kind of broadcast skills they have to master: running the board, reporting, editing, video,
all
kinds of things. So it's a great, and they get college credit.
That's the wonderful part about this internship program is that, as you say, I mean, you get exposed to the wide variety of different disciplines, but also they're earning credit for doing it. And St. Cloud State has been marvelous, not only in creating that program, but also in sending equipment and things that continues to make this work, and also some cutting edge technology. Yeah. So it's you're not editing with a razor blade and reel-to-reel tape. You're actually using today's technology, which will be applicable when they graduate and head out into the industry.
For those of you looking on the live stream, behind Steve, there's this unit called a Comrex unit, and that was employed, I'd say, at least 10-ish years ago. Yeah. And that knocked down what's called the latency or delay that normal remote units and radio have. And so now there is no delay, and we can do all that tight radio stuff that we need to do remotely from all over the place.
Yeah,
and something we've always chased after.
Yes.
I do want to mention a sad note. KVSC's longtime station manager, Joan McMullen, for 30 years, she passed away just last week, and we're all very sad because she was, like I was speaking about Tom, she was a fierce advocate for supporting sending a lot of her equipment from the radio station in St. Cloud, Minnesota, down to support us in the summertime, even though the radio station is still going on.
Yep.
But, so we really miss her. We are going to miss her, and we just want to thank her for supporting this effort down here every year.
Along with what you've done here with the AA, you are a pilot for UPS, flying all over the country, or are you going internationally?
Soon, Asia and Europe, yes.
Okay. You're also involved in the Willow Brown Aviation Academy in the Madison area, your hometown. How did that get started?
I was just very fortunate that my high school had a aviation program, so I was able to get a leg up, and before I left high school, I had a couple ratings. And I just wanted to give back for that because a lot of that faded away 30-some years ago when I left town. And I just wanted we're underrepresented communities. I want them to know a lot of them are just about a half mile to a mile away from the Dane County Regional Airport. Hey, this is your airport too.
Right.
And so let's do a summer camp and introduce them a five-day camp. It's modeled after the ACE academies that a lot of people put on. But we put our own unique twist to it. This is our third year, and we have somewhere between 20 to 25 young people, 12 to 17. And we've been doing some strategic planning, and now we're having a big fundraising push as well. But because we're expanding, we now have pulled in a couple other things that were created by sister organizations we worked with as Madison Youth Aviation Club. So you go to this summer camp, and then some of the people we invite to come to the monthly meetings, and we go around and do aviation things. We visited UW MedFlight, which is in the helicopter patient transport. We visited EAA, of course. We came up to the museum in the wintertime, and lots of other just kind of aviation related. It's not all flying. It's also what other careers are there? Mechanics, engineers, managing an airport, things like that. So just a wider range of things that we need, that we want to let the kids know. And if not, just make the enthusiasts out of them.
Oh, yes. one of the things, and we've had several representatives of airlines, because the airlines have been in and out displaying their aircraft throughout the week, but that's one of the things that all of their spokespeople emphasized, is that it's not just pilots, it's not just flight attendants, but it's dispatchers, it's maintenance, it's accounting, it's marketing. There's all these aspects of aviation, or airline in this case, that are out there for people, and they don't necessarily think about it. So an academy like yours is wonderful to say, yeah, you can be an aviation enthusiast. You don't have to be a pilot, but here's all the other things you can do and still be involved in flying.
United Airlines was nice enough to let us get on one of their Airbuses that happened to be sitting there. But also before, we had a ramp agent and a customer service agent come in and talk about their lives and talk about how they can travel, but also it's a really good, but they also, you got to work. But I think the other thing is we're in charge of making that spark, and it's important. We have to reach into the middle school and high school to get people thinking about it, because it's almost too late if they're in college. We always say it's never too late to learn how to fly, but if you're thinking about one of those ARCs, we want to get them excited about it early on, and we're going to be trying to connect them with scholarship opportunities, some offer some of our own. We're in the works of working with a dear volunteer of ours that passed away and their family, of creating a scholarship and then also connecting them with other scholarship opportunities.
Excellent. If someone would like more information about the Academy, where can they find
you? You can go to willaflight.org. Willa is spelled W-I-L-L-A, and it's for Willa Brown, who is the first African-American U.S. pilot. Bessie Coleman was the first,
right,
obviously. But she's also the first mechanic, commercial pilot, and the first officer in the Civil Air Patrol. Did just amazing things, and so she's the perfect embodiment of what we want to pass on to these kids.
Excellent. And you also have support from Willa Brown's family,
yes,
has endorsed this mm-hmm. campaign,
yeah,
as well.
There's several levels down at in the Indianapolis area. They keep up with us, and we usually get a like or a heart on Facebook. But yeah, willaflight.org. Come see what we're about. If you're in the Madison area, or you'd like remotely to, if you're someone who would like maybe to present during one of our camps, and also there's a way to donate if you're willing to support us, because we also offer flights. So we give them a flight at the end of the summer camp, but we also do flight days like Young Eagle rallies,
right,
throughout the year, and to pay for our insurance to offer those rides, we would welcome your support.
There you go. Fareed, great to have you here,
yeah,
again. It's amazing that it's Saturday already. It's hard to comprehend, but
yeah,
we'll do it. We'll do it all again next year, right?
Certainly. I'm going to quick plug.
Sure.
I'll be here tomorrow grading landings and takeoffs from 10 to noon.
Sounds good. Fareed, thanks again for being a part of EIA Radio and the fabric that is EIA and the Willa Brown Aviation Academy. This is EIA Radio.